Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Well, the streak continues for the Cavaliers. They're up to 12-0. How much longer can it go? And when will Spence finally admit that the Cavs have a signature win? Plus, do we all owe Kobe Altman an apology? All that and more coming your way on the latest episode on the Courtside with the Cavaliers on SI Podcast. Welcome on in, guys, to the latest episode of the Courtside with the Cavaliers on SI Podcast. I actually should throw the little logo up in the corner.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice looking piece of art, isn't it?
For at least our viewing audience, our listening audience has no idea what the hell we're talking about. But basically, there's a little logo right over Spence's head. He's gonna have to swat it out of the way during the show if he ever leans over that direction.
I'm evasive.
Well, the Cavaliers have been pretty evasive when it comes to L's. They just dodge them every direction. It's like the movie Dodgeball. They're dipping, they're ducking, they're dodging all of them, and they just keep finding ways to win. They've ballooned this thing to 12 straight. Spence, we've talked a little bit about, like, realistically how much longer they can keep this thing going. 15-0 is kind of on the horizon. Do you like their chances, though, to even maybe push it to 16-0 and if they can win these next couple and give the Boston Celtics a run for their money next Tuesday?
They certainly could. You saw what happened last night with the Hawks game. A little bit of a lack of attention to detail on Boston's part towards the end of the game, just some turnovers. And obviously Dyson Daniels was just taking things away left and right. But for the Cavs, just to talk about them, I don't know if they haven't seen a scenario that has caught them off guard yet. And I think that is kind of what's going to serve them well over this next week or so. Is it going to be something that catches another team off guard if they're able to kind of come into it and push the pedal to the metal the way they have in the first halves? That's to be seen. One thing on this Wednesday, that the Philly 76ers are not going to have a lot of their pieces. They're going to be without Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey, as we know. Cavs might be a little shorthanded too. Jared Allen's dealing with some lower left leg soreness. And you have Sam Merrill, who's been on the injury report the last couple of games too, even though he's been fighting through it. So that is probably, I would assume, not going to happen tonight as far as an L for the Cavs. They do have a couple scrappy opponents coming in to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse when we will not be there. Or at least I will not be there this weekend when they take on the Bulls again, second time in a week. And then obviously the Hornets coming in for NBA Cup play on Sunday. So like Oren's saying here in the comments, take it one game at a time, see what happens. But again, I don't think anything's surprising them, and they're being kind of versatile in the way that they're getting things done. And I'm sure that we're going to address that, because there's just been so many different lineups and combinations and closing lineups that have really propelled this thing forward.
I think your comment on them not being surprised by anything, I think that's a really good one, because like this Cavs team to this point, it seems like they've seen a little bit of everything. They've blown teams out. They've gotten tested by some teams. they saw a Brooklyn Nets team come into Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on Saturday and like slow the pace down and sort of try to combat their new style of play that way. And they were able to win that game despite scoring their lowest point total of the season. They saw a Bulls team give them everything they had earlier this week and come out on top of that game. So it definitely feels like they've seen a lot of different things, and there's still more that they can see. There's certainly a lot to still learn about this Cavs team, but I do think that's a benefit to them during the streak and as the season's kind of gotten rolling here, is they're finding different ways to win. And I'm going to be honest, man, like you want to talk about, and I know we're not talking about this specifically today, about like where they sort of fit in the championship picture, but even more than just the 12-0 streak, which is as impressive as possible. I mean, it's only happened 8 times. There are some people that are trying to maybe downplay and just be like, who cares, whatever. But like, guys, it's important to recognize like how monumental this is. It's only been done 8 times. They're halfway to the Warriors' record of 24 in a row to start a season. Like and it's like, you know, there's so many moments in Cavaliers history you can look back on. Like, this is one of those moments that we'll all probably remember at some point. So, but even more impressive than that, Spence, is the fact that they're finding different ways to win. To me, like, you want to talk about at some point, like them being in the championship conversation. I think that is the thing that tells me they're more in that conversation than anything, even more than the streak, because the best teams in this sport, like, they find different ways to win. It's not always easy. I understand, like, you had the Warriors who made it look easy at times, and I understand you had, like, the Celtics last year who kind of coasted their way to a championship, but the best teams are able to play different styles, different paces, different lineups, and still, you know, find ways to get across the finish line with a win. And I think we've seen a lot of that from this team to this point.
We have. And it's just kind of that resilience and that belief in one another and just picking up their teammates, whether it's in good situations or bad situations. They legitimately like each other. You see it in the locker room. You see it play out on the court as a result. And it's just kind of been made for the perfect storm. And Kenny Atkinson's been a huge part of that, just in his attitude. We've talked about it before on our post-game shows, but just the genuine, kind of feeling that this guy brings to the press room, even. Just talking about his actual feelings, right? He's very real, and you were a good part of that. Like, you asked him, too, like, if they're feeling it, and like the players are feeling it, the streak, and if it's weighing on them or not. It's not weighing on them, they said, but they do have it in the back of their mind. And, you know, it's not like something where if they lose a game, all hell's going to break loose and the ceiling's going to fall, but they are very much aware of what they're doing. You know, you brought it up that it tied for eighth or whatever like that. I know that this is the best start to a season in the NBA since the 82-83 Sonics and 96-97 Bulls. So those are some legit teams to be in company with, and they're not perfect. The Cavs are not this flawless machine, but damn it, they know when to show up. They know when to make timely shots, timely plays, and they scrap in addition to just having overall talent.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right about that. The only thing I want to know, Spence, is we've been trying to get you to admit that there's been a statement win along the way here. If they beat the Celtics on Tuesday, will you finally say that they have a statement win? Will that be the tipping point for you, especially if they beat the Celtics to get to 16-0?
Talk to me on Tuesday.
Talk to me next week on the pod.
That's the
answer you're sticking with.
Talk to me next week. This is something that I've been very reluctant to do. And it's just because I'm kind of taking the approach that Kenny's taken and the team's taken. How many times have we asked Donovan Mitchell, you know, this is record setting. This is stuff that hasn't been done before in the organization. This is league matching history that you guys are doing. And he's like, nope, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. I'm not talking about it. It's November, you know, like, and he's going to continue to have that attitude. All about building habits, all about making sure that this is the type of stuff. This is the kind of situations and scenarios they can lean on when it gets to April and to May and they get deep into the playoffs, hopefully. And that's a good attitude to have, because you can't walk around reading your press clippings and thinking that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. But
as Nick Saban would say, it's rat poison is what he would call it.
Well, here's the funny thing. They, you know, Kenny put it so perfectly, and I think I mentioned it on last week's pod. It's just like, they're a team that knows they're good. They're humble. They have humility, but they're confident. It's not even like it's a swag. It's just, they know they're good, but they also know they have to take the next step. And they just kind of carry that confidence, carry that belief. And I think when you look at what happened last season and in the playoffs and all the talk over the summer about all they did was get a new head coach, all they did was add a couple of pieces on two-way contracts. They didn't do anything different. They didn't trade guys. They didn't break up the core four. They didn't do any of this. Like, the attitude from the outside looking in was they're crazy, but clearly changing up a philosophy and kind of an approach and the offense in particular and the strategy has paid off in huge dividends.
Hold that thought, because I do think that segues nicely into our overarching topic we want to get into today. But I did want to throw this up real quick, because B Skrills, our good friend who watches and listens all the time, I'm going to chant 82-0, F that, let's go 98-0. He thinks it's going to be a clean sweep the entire season. I enjoy the confidence. Even Darius Garland admitted that at some point they're going to lose a game, and I'm sure they'll lose several more after that. But I like the excitement from Cavs fans. And listen, I think at this point Cavs fans have every right to embrace the streak and lean into it however you want to. If you want to throw out like 50-0 as like a joke, or 98-0 like B Skrills is doing, I respect it. That's what being a fan is all about. You should be enjoying this ride. After every game that I post the final score and all that, I always tweet, the Cavs may never lose again. So it's like, it's a fun thing. And this is for you guys to enjoy most of all. Obviously the players are enjoying it, but even them acknowledging, like they did after the game on Saturday, that it kind of weighs in the back of their mind, like, we don't want it to end this way. I think that's an acknowledgement of like, we want to keep this going for the fans and have you guys get into it. So however you want to celebrate it, if you want to predict 82-0, go for it. Have some fun. But Spence, you brought up an awesome point, man, just about the fact that they kept this roster the same. And listen, you're with me all the time talking about this team. Like, I wasn't somebody who was banging the drum like, you got to fire Kobe Altman. But I did say, I wanted to see them make some moves this offseason to change things up, because I kind of felt like this roster had run its course, and it was maybe to a point where I didn't know if it could win you a championship. And I think that in the vein of this conversation, like, Kobe Altman, he zigged when everybody else zagged. Everybody else was like, the Knicks went and revamped their entire roster. And that was one of the reasons why I felt like they needed to make some changes. It was like, everybody around you got better and you stayed the same. And in this league, things can change so, so quickly. I do think that is kind of like a mentality in this sport, is when other teams change, like, you got to change, because you can't just stay the same or you fall behind in this league. So I think there's some truth in that. But Kobe Altman deserves a lot of credit for doing what I think was actually the hard thing, because there was other knuckleheads like me saying, you got to make a change, you got to do something. And he stuck to his guns, stuck with the roster that had slowly sort of progressed through, you know, the play-in year, and then the playoffs, getting bounced the first round and then making it to the second round. And he believed that this group could be better if you just got the right coach in here to sort of make it all work and be the straw that stirs the drink. And to this point, man, like, it's 12-0 and there's still a long season to go. And so maybe, you know, down the line we question things again. But for now, like, it certainly looks like he was 100% right in his sort of estimation with this team, his prediction with this team, how he felt about this team. And he deserves, I think, a lot of credit and maybe even an apology from some people for doing the thing that I think was actually the harder thing to do in the NBA, which was keep your roster intact and change something else and see if the results are there, because you believe in this group that much.
You know, it's Thanksgiving here around the corner, and Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, they might not have turkey on the menu. It might be crow, because, man, I'll tell you what.
Is that what we have to? Is that what we're going to use our food vouchers for? We're going to go to the stand that has crow for sale.
I've been waiting to drop that line. But here, look, I'm not going to sit here and wax poetic about how I was right about everything, because I was on podcasts with you saying, you know, maybe a move is for the better, even though I believe in the talent that each member of this core four has. Maybe there's just not a fit there. Maybe, you know, one of the guys has to go, or maybe two of the guys has to go. You had to have those conversations at that time, because you're just speaking to what you've seen, even though you go back to the data that the core four did not play very much, or the starting five did not play very much together. I was always steadfast in my belief, however, of Darius Garland. I was always steadfast in my belief, however, of Evan Mobley. Even if it wasn't going to be on this team, I was telling people in texts and texting friends, those guys are going to be legitimate in this league. I don't know if it's going to be in Cleveland, but they are very immensely talented players who have yet to kind of develop to their fullest potential. And even though, as we sit here today on November 13th, 2024, they have not reached their fullest potential by any means necessary, they are clearly on that rise. They are getting Kenny Atkinson is getting the most out of those two, and that's the reason they made the hire. And it was very, very intentional to bring in a guy who is so good hands-on with players, who's out on the floor with them, contesting shots, getting in there, trying to get rebounds, scrimmaging with them. I think the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit that Kenny Atkinson has brought in. Just all sorts of changes in that building around the talent you already had is proving to have worked. And I know you sit here at 12-0 and you don't want to have that mentality of, oh, they're going all the way, you know, like, because everything changes when it comes to the postseason. I'm not saying that. But if you can't see a fundamental change within this building, then you're nuts, because everybody is getting involved. Everybody. You talk about different lineups. You talk about combinations. You talk about even when the core four is sitting on the pine, you have guys that can keep you up and going, like we saw in Chicago the other night. There are so many options. This team is multifaceted. They have different sets they can go to, subsets inside of those sets. And defensively, more freedom, more ability to be aggressive on the ball because you have such good coverage behind you. Cover for your man. They're covering for each other who are covering for others. Like, it's just a domino effect. It's a string. And all these guys are on the same page and they're on the same wavelength. And that's what's making the difference here.
Yeah, listen, you sum it up very, very well. And I just think, like, again, it's early. Like, a lot can change. They're not going to actually go 82-0. I know Beast Grills is trying to speak that into existence, and I appreciate that. But there's going to be bumps in the road. It's not always going to be this perfect. But to see how hot of a start they've gotten off to, and it's more than that though. Like, it's what we talked about earlier. It's they're winning games differently. It's everybody's contributing. It's like this roster that we thought, or that I mentioned that we thought maybe had like reached its potential together. We're seeing all kinds of different alternative outcomes and alternative players contributing. It's like we thought it was tapped out, and then all of a sudden it's you know, here's a new keg coming in to fill it back up again. Like, it's wild how much Kenny Atkinson has pulled out of this group, how they've thrived in all sorts of different scenarios and all sorts of different environments. And it's like a completely different brand of basketball than what we saw under JB Bickerstaff. And it's working. So I do think on some level, the NBA has a history of when things aren't working, you got to pivot, you got to change something up. And that's probably part of where we were coming from too, is like, yeah, like maybe this lineup had reached its potential, but for Kobe Altman to stick to his guns, despite knowing people are going to criticize it and say, you can't keep this team together anymore, and it, you know, your job's on the line here. If you hire a coach and it still doesn't work out, like, that's on you. Like, he was putting himself out there and making himself basically the potential fall guy if this thing doesn't work. And he absolutely knocked it out of the park as far as we can tell to this point. Now, what does that mean for, at the end of the day, Kobe Altman is going to be graded off of what this team does in May and potentially June. We know that. Like, the playoffs are the end goal. He continues to say when he's asked about it, like, we know that we have to keep taking those steps. You know, like, we've taken steps to get to this point. We got to keep taking those steps. So even he knows what the expectations are, and he doesn't shy away from that. But, like, for now, it, like, I think there is a somewhat of an apology owed to him because,
oh yeah,
man, did he did the hard thing. He didn't just blow it all up because that's what everybody said he should do. He believed in this group, and it's been beautiful so far to see that belief turn into the results that we're seeing it with a 12-0 start to the season.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I think that resonates with the players, especially when you look at what Donovan just said about Darius Garland. I'm just going to quote the whole thing here on the pod, and sorry if I'm not looking at the camera, but I thought this was very, very cool quote. After the Bulls win on Monday, someone asked him about Darius Garland's hot start. This is the full quote. For him last year, he got poked in the eye. He got his jaw wired shut. He had stuff happen with his family. Life happens. You go through stuff. The year before that, he was hooping. How soon we forget. That's what pisses me off, and that's why I'm happy for him to continue. I feel like people just forgot. We live in such a recency bias world, and I hate it because this is who Darius Garland is. This is why he was an all-star. This is why he got paid, why he got paid. People just forget, like, what happened before just never happened. And yeah. I think that I said something similar to that, maybe not as...
He stole your quote, is what you're saying, Spence. Donovan Mitchell quote.
Donovan's a plagiarist. Donovan's a plagiarist. But, I mean, people on this YouTube channel, if you want, if you have time, I'm sure you don't, and I don't know if you're going to believe me or not, but if you go back to the playoffs last year, and if you go back to what I said in the summer, talking with Spence, it doesn't just go away.
No.
It's not like you have to be an insane person if you think that he was not talented. That was just completely off base. If you had concerns about the fit with Donovan Mitchell, I understood because we hadn't seen any type of sets or any type of movement that you might not necessarily have seen like this season with Kenny Atkinson when he has him playing off ball and getting to the corners and all that good stuff. You saw a little bit of it the first year with DG and Don. Last year, not so much because there was just a little bit of clog, a little bit more ball dominance when either was on the floor. So that I could understand. But if you forgot that Darius Garland was an all-star, someone who was one of the best playmakers in the NBA, one of the best shooters in the NBA, you're nuts. You are absolutely off base. And that, I think, that quote that Donovan says and applies to your point about how Kobe kept it together because he believed in this group. He didn't just jump at the first wrong thing that happened and say, all right, yep, it's not working. Nah, it doesn't work like that. And that's also why he went out and extended Evan Mobley and Jared Allen in addition to Donovan Mitchell. So now that all the core four is who they're building around and finding supplemental pieces.
And that's another part here too, is like, that was a smart move to extend these guys, because if at some point they feel like they do need to trade somebody, having those extensions intact makes them more valuable via trade. Like, teams are going to know they have a longer term deal in place with that player rather than just like, hey, it's a rental and then you got to figure it out for yourself. So that in of its own right is not something we have to worry about right now, but like that was smart on his part too. And we've talked about Darius Garland already on the podcast. Like, I didn't ever believe that all-star version of himself was just gone. There were circumstances to that. And I said, like, that's why if they had traded Darius Garland, I felt like there was still value around the league, because I figured maybe us bozos out here in the media and fans would be like, he stinks now. But like, there's no way in NBA circles they thought that Darius Garland just wasn't good anymore. So I felt like that value would still be there if you were to trade him. But I'm glad that obviously he didn't get traded at this point, and that we're seeing that version of him returned, and it was the version that we thought he could always be. Spence, we've talked so much about Kenny Atkinson, and you sort of elaborated on like the impact that he's brought to this team and being the big switch and the big change that Kobe Altman followed through with. I actually thought his comments the other night, I probably should have cut this and I didn't, that was my bad, but he had the comments about the small lineup that he played against Brooklyn that helped them win the game. They closed out the game over the last like 6 minutes. It was Mobley, Mitchell, Garland, LeVert, and Ty Jerome. That was the group that finished the game. And he was asked about like what inspired that lineup. Like, was that something you were thinking about? And his answer, where he basically just said, yeah, you know, nothing else is working, so we just tried something different. That to me highlighted the biggest difference between Kenny Atkinson and JB Bickerstaff. Because JB, all due respect to JB, I've continued to say over and over again, he was the perfect coach to get this team out of the second LeBron departure. And
look what he's doing with the Pistons, right? And, he's doing a really good job. They just won a game last night in the NBA Cup. He's perfect to get your team to playoff contention.
Exactly. He's the perfect coach for like a rebuild. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he was able to do with this team. But he had limitations, and I think we saw a lot of those, especially in the playoffs. For Kenny Atkinson to admit that, like, he just basically spitballed a lineup. It was like, let's just try it and see what happens. Like, that's a great coaching X's and O's mind at work versus like JB, who I think like he was more of a, I'm going to go down with the guys that got me here. Like, his offense is very high pick and roll based. He was going to keep doing, he was going to pick and roll you to death and go down with the results. Like, whatever was going to happen from that, he was going to take it. He was going to live with it, and that's fine. But like, for Kenny to admit that is the coach you're getting. That is the coach that Kobe Altman signed you up for. That is the coach that's coaching the Cavs right now. It's a guy who, when something isn't working, he's willing to make adjustments to what he would normally do and normally try just because that thing wasn't working, and he needs to see if he can get a spark somehow. And honestly, like, it's interesting. The other part of this I thought about, we all remember the death lineup that the Warriors had, which was when they went small. It was just like nobody could compete with that lineup. They would just blow you out. It was like how they started all their third quarters. It was an incredible lineup. At the time, it had like Harrison Barnes in it and that group, right? Kenny being under Steve Kerr, I don't know if this is like what sort of inspired this, but I remember that lineup being something that like Steve Kerr just tried. It wasn't like the initial lineup they started the season with, and then he kind of just discovered it midseason, and it was like, oh shit, like, we're blowing teams out with this lineup. We better keep using this, and nobody can match up against it. And that's the type of thing that Kenny is kind of alluding to there, is like, sometimes by mistake, you try something and it turns out to be, I'm not saying that that lineup is going to be the Warriors death lineup or anything, but I'm just saying like, sometimes by mistake, you try something and it ends up being a massive benefit for you. So I thought that quote was huge and really highlighted like why he is the right coach for this team now, taking the reins from JB Bickerstaff, if you will.
Yes, and he's willing to try things, like you said, like that haven't been used. And that's what the regular season should be for. Try crap. Why not? I mean, you can find a lot of different combinations and what works. And I'm sure that we're going to talk about Ty Jerome, as we should, the way that he's been stepping up as the lead backup point guard, but also a small forward that plays sometimes with DG and Don now. The fifth guy on the floor can always rotate with the core four. He's got so many different options, as I was saying earlier. But Kenny, for me, it's just the willingness to learn still. And he talked about that with Steve Kerr and what he's kind of garnered from his time in Brooklyn, how he's more of a manager now, where he hears out the players a little bit more. His shoot-arounds are a little bit more laid back, and he lets his assistants handle a lot of that stuff. He's learned from that time in Brooklyn and in Golden State and in under Ty Lue, not to mention that. So that, I think, also kind of plays into it. And he's not as much of a, what you would consider a coach. He's more of a manager, as he put to us in the media room. And, you know, another part, I think, of Kenny's kind of strengths this year has been his challenges and his timeout usage. Yeah. I think he's pushed the right buttons and known when momentum is starting to falter, when something's not working, recognizing when one of his guys has tired legs. He said DG didn't have it the other night, so, you know, I threw in Ty and got some of those other guys in, but by the time those guys were done bringing the Cavs back in it and making a lead and getting them into a tie game, DG was rested and he was able to close out the game as he's done all season, right? Like, so those are the nuances of this that I think really should be getting spotlighted, because he's just, he's again, pushing the right buttons, knowing he's a great in-game coach, great in-game acumen. And that's something that we haven't seen to this effect the last few years. And I hate, like you said, to disparage anything JB's done, because he built the foundation. He's a reason the Cavs are the defensive juggernaut that they are. They just added Kenny's twist on the offensive end, changed up the philosophies, and want to get running a little bit more. And the Cavs are clearly buying into it more than any other year that they have so far.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And you're right. Like, his willingness to try different things, his willingness to trust in, you know, everybody 1 through 11 that he likes to rotate in out there is awesome. And you also got to think and realize, like, he's doing all this right now without Max Strus out there. Like, he's going to have another weapon in his arsenal at some point here. And how he deploys him will be another sort of fun wrinkle to watch. And it's kind of like how good the Cavs are playing right now. There's a chance that they get better once they have Max Strus out there. So I'm excited to see it. I know Cavs fans will be excited to see it. But yeah, Kenny's been brilliant, and it's a testament to, as we sort of summed up, Kobe Altman's willingness to trust in this roster and, you know, put his faith in Kenny Atkinson to sort of be the missing piece here. Maybe we should have started with this a little earlier, because I don't want to necessarily end on like a bad note, but it hasn't been all rainbows and butterflies for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You brought up, Spence, that the last couple games, third quarters have been a pretty big problem for this team. What are you noticing about that part of the game specifically? And I know you have a couple stats that you wanted to rattle off as well.
I do. I have a stat book right now. The Cavs right now in third quarters have just not been coming out. The last three games, they're averaging 23.3 points on 38% from the field and a very frigid 26.9% from deep. So that's something that maybe they need to look at. They're also bottom three in the league in assists in the third quarter. So I just think that's an area of focus they need to go to. I put a video out on my Twitter if you want to look at that. But it's just, that has not been a problem for Kenny and most teams that he's coached, but it has been a problem that the Cavs have had, honestly, for the last 3-4 years. Is just maintaining that level of focus when they have a lead, or just coming out of the locker room ready to go in third quarters. They need to find a way to get better at it, because that's going to be a key quarter. That's a key time in the game, especially that first 2-3 minutes out of the locker room, to either build upon your lead or to just cut down on whatever deficit you have. And they haven't trailed much at half. I barely know if they've trailed a half at all, maybe 2 or 3 games. But that third quarter is going to be something to keep an eye on. And Donovan Mitchell talked about it. Darius Garland talked about it. That's the next step for this team. That's where you want to go. Because you look at a team like the Warriors that Kenny Atkinson was a part of the last couple of years. They have consistently been one of the best third quarter teams in the league. And teams fear that. They know it's coming. And even if they know it's coming, they don't know how to stop it.
Weren't the Cavs kind of bad in the third quarter under JB the last couple of years too?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's the it's the players. It's more of the players than it is a coaching thing, in this opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, that's an area of focus they need to have. They can't just stop after an amazing first half or whatever it may be. They got to sustain it. No, sometimes it's hard to stay that locked in. Like, I asked the guys on Friday when they were playing the Warriors, they had a 41-point lead at half. I don't know how you stay focused with a 41-point lead the same way that you did before it, but it has to be done because other teams are going to crack into it, and it's a human nature thing. It's an interesting conversation. I don't know how you get better at it coming out of the locker room, but it's something that they have to address. And there's another, you know, area as well on the floor, a couple other areas that I just wanted to briefly mention. The offensive rebounding, they're dead last in the league. I told Spence that it's been a focus for them to crash offensive glass to get more possessions and to get more opportunities. And, you know, guys like Dean Wade do that. I think that Isaac Okoro has been terrific at that. Caris LeVert, George Niang. However, I think that that number is so low is because they're making so many shots. So I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. And then the third stat I wanted to bring up was opponent three-point percentage. Opponents are shooting the third best in the league against the Cavs right now from deep. So that's something to keep an eye on. Got to be a little bit more disciplined with the closeouts. Don't overreact on rotations and make sure to get a hand up. And the thing, too, is I think that that might be an outlier because Damian Lillard torched him in two games. So yeah, maybe that is an outlier because I think the Cavs have been pretty good defensively for the most part. But even in Chicago, that first half, way too many open threes, way too many easy lanes on drive-bys. Got to clean that part up. But this is nitpicky stuff, guys. They're 12-0. I did laugh at seeing a social media post say 2015 Hawks, because I was like, all right, the Hawks did have all those all-stars that year, but that was Jeff Teague, Kyle Korver, Al Horford, and Damare Carroll. The Cavs do have Damare Carroll in the building, and that's about the only thing that's the same about the 2015 Hawks and the 2024 Cavaliers.
I also think like a lot of those guys were established veterans at that point, and with the Cavs, like there's some untapped potentially room for Evan Mobley to grow, maybe Darius Garland even a little bit more. I think Mitchell and Jared are kind of who they are, but like even guys like Sam Merrill could continue. But yeah, I mean, again, we all know the playoffs are going to be the place where this team gets judged. And if they start 12-0, 13-0, 15-0, 17-0, whatever, people will look back and be like, oh, I guess that was all fluke if they get like bounced in the first round or something like that. But the good news is we don't have to worry about that right now. We can let this team continue to learn from what it's been to this point, all wins. The third quarter thing is interesting because I do think you're right. Like the Warriors excelling at that over the years is like the thing that would break the spirit of the other team. It's like you might be in a close game at the half and feel like, all right, guys, we're in it with this really good Warriors team. And then they came out in the third quarters and they just like destroy you and they make you want to get on the bus and go home. And so flipping that and changing that will be important. Obviously the three pointers against is a big one because other teams, better teams will beat you if you're leaving them open like that. But I think that just comes with, again, as much as it's been perfect on the record, it hasn't always been perfect basketball and there's going to be things that they have to learn from. It's better to learn from a win than a loss. But for them to correct those things, you got to imagine as time goes on, the defense will get even firmer. They'll figure some things out there. They're still making defense such a high priority that I don't know that right now it has to be like the end all be all for like they're not going to go anywhere. Let's just, you know, it's still early enough that there's room for improvement.
There is. And they're getting it done on the defensive end. Like, don't think me saying that other teams are shooting the lights out that they're not doing well on defensive end. They're, I think, tops in the league, or at least top three, top four in the league in points off of turnovers. They are forcing them. They are getting into other teams' shirts. They're making reads off of pressure when guys are forcing the opponents into bad decisions and picking it off, almost like pick sixes in football, getting it going on the other end in transition. They've got such a good knack for finding ways to steal the ball. Ty Jerome's been a big part of that. Cool clip on the Twitter that I put on, that you know, Kenny talks about the way he steals. I think when they put two on the ball with Ty and they have him attack or blitz with Jared Allen or Evan Mobley or even Dean Wade in such situations, that he's able to just rip it away. He is just so strong and so savvy about pickpocketing that I think that even should be talked about as much as what Ty's been doing on the offensive end, getting the table set, shooting the three, and being such a good pick-and-roll player. On the defensive end, I think he's been the most impactful. So that part and making teams pay for their mistakes, that's been the Cavs' MO. They did it a ton in Chicago. So definitely keep an eye on that because that's just been a part of their identity. But there are things to clean up, like you said. But they've seen every situation possible, I think, so far, besides trailing by like 20. They have trailed by like 14 or 16, but they've stayed the course, stick to their principles, and they always play the same way. At least the majority of the time, they play the same way. Maybe not in those 3 to 4 minute spurts where they have an issue or anything like that, but that's, I think, the big thing. And before we close, I did think it's, you know, we have to address the Jared Allen thing. He's been kind of dealing with, you know, I think that he's been dealing with fatigue more than anything. I know they have it listed as, you know, stress.
He's running a lot more than he ever has. Like they're pushing it a lot more. Maybe there's something there with like, he's going to have to just kind of get his body more equipped for that. And that might take some time, but yeah, like I can understand where this early run of the season has got him worn down a little bit. Yeah.
Sure. And I mean, we know what Jared Allen's capable of. I think he's been their most consistent player overall the last like three years. So don't go jumping off of that wagon because he has a couple of games where you're like, he doesn't look right. Don't do that. You got to learn from the Darius Garland experience. You know that that's not JA's capabilities. He's an incredible player, a dependable player, and he just hasn't been right the last few games, and they're going to figure that out. You know, he's questionable going into the game against the Sixers. You know, same with Sam Merrill, as I said earlier. But they've got so many different ways to hurt you, and they wear you down. They use their depth. They celebrate who's on the team, you know, 1 through 15, and Kenny just goes to whoever at any point.
Spence, is the midseason tournament already like a thing, or in the sense of like, do people care about it, or is it going to take some more time for people to really care about it?
I thought the games on Tuesday were fun.
If I remember correctly, last year the ratings were pretty high, especially once you got to like the tournament portion of it, where it was like the actual bracket. If I remember correctly, there was a lot of people tuning in for that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I enjoy looking at the courts. They kind of bleed on your eyes a little bit. Like I was watching a
superhero. It should come with a warning label on the screen. Like, beware of the bright courts.
I was watching a superhero movie when I was watching that Celtics Hawks game last night, and then I felt like whether it was Philly or Milwaukee that I was watching a Boise State football game. But
what were you watching, Doctor Strange?
Right, I'm saying like there's just so many like different, you know, the courts are very difficult to look at sometimes. I do like the charcoal courts and like the, you know, the black courts. Like Portland's was beautiful. I loved that one. I'm interested to see. The uniform combinations really have to do a lot of it too. But with the cup itself, I think that players do understand that maybe there is a little bit something to it. There is definitely an incentive. You look at the pay, you look at the, you know, the ring you get. I don't know if everyone's going to hang the, you know, the banner like the Lakers did. But I think that it's a cool thing. It's a little wrinkle in the season that gets you excited, gets you, you know, kind of jacked up, and other teams are bringing it. You look at, you know, like what the Hawks did last night against the Celtics, really brought it and did a great job without Trae Young. I thought that Detroit-Miami game was really gritty. There was some tough moments in that game, but they, you know, they ended up getting the job done. And obviously the Golden State-Dallas game was a blast. So I think they've got a little bit of something going and rolling there with a little bit of momentum. I'm enjoying it. And hopefully, you know, you see the Cavs do well and get to Vegas and have another team bonding experience like they did in Paris last year.
Yeah, I think I kind of forgot that it started already. Like I forgot that going into Tuesday, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. These games are the start of the cup the other night. And then it hit me like, okay, so I guess I got to pay more attention to some of these games coming up. So I think it kind of takes me a little bit to like get into it. But once, like last year, I remember I was really into the Cavs last game of the play-in portion because they knew like they had to win and they needed like a certain point total to like get the tiebreaker. So I'll be intrigued as you get a little deeper into it. I know there's 4 games you play over the next couple weeks. But yeah, I think I think it's probably going to take a couple years for people to like really buy into it, but it felt like it got some good momentum out of the first year. So we'll see how year two goes. All right, guys, that is it for us today on the latest episode of Courtside with the Cavaliers on SI. As you know, it is Spencer German, Spencer Davies. We enjoy talking Cavaliers basketball with you each and every single week, each and every single day, almost every day, really, because we do a lot of the post-game stuff. We, as Spence alluded to, we will not be at Friday's game or Sunday's game. So you're going to have a little hiatus from Spencer Squared for a couple days, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you need a little detox from us for a little bit. And then we'll be back hitting the ground running next week for what will be the biggest game probably of the season to this point with the Celtics on the road. And we'll see if they can win that one. And Spence will finally say that they have a statement win. We look forward to getting him on the record saying that. We'll circle that clip all throughout social media if he finally does. So it should be fun. Guys, in the meantime, though, we implore you and encourage you to continue fun along with all things Cleveland Cavaliers at si.com/NBA/Cavaliers.
And hit that subscribe, hit that like, baby.
Yep,
do that for the next for the YouTube,
sure,
for the Spotify, everything.
Spence got it covered. Like, subscribe, review the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And as he said, at the Cleveland Cavaliers on SI YouTube channel and beyond. Thank you so much, guys. We'll be back with another episode next week. And obviously plenty of conversations in between the Courtside with the Cavaliers on SI podcast.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.